It's time for the Drive's Top 4 at 4.
All right, here we go. Hour number two of the Drive underway. Top 4 at 4 brought to you this afternoon by G&J Auto Graphics. We're giving away a free window tint here in about an hour. So last call here. Get signed up. Go to fanrunradio.com/tint, T-I-N-T, to register to win this $300 prize value gift from G&J. We send things back to the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Marcus Young standing by. Marcus.
Thank you, Russell. At number one, college basketball as the Sweet 16 begins today, this evening, as we have four matchups for you. Michigan State will be taking on Kansas State at 6:30. Later on, you have Arkansas and UConn at 7:15. Tennessee and Florida Atlantic at 9, and UCLA and Gonzaga at 9:45. Tennessee fans will have a chance to find out who we could potentially face once that Michigan State-Kansas State game finishes up.
I am so consumed with Tennessee's game against Florida Atlantic. I mean, quite honestly, whatever you just said there, Marcus, the other games went in one ear, out the other. I don't know who else is playing tonight. It don't matter who else is playing tonight. Survive in advance. You heard Geraldo. That is the mantra. I'll worry about the other possibilities tomorrow, or perhaps at 11 p.m. if Tennessee is still rolling. If our season comes crashing down upon us like a house of cards collapsing tonight, I'm probably not going to be paying attention to college basketball anymore this year, because that's the kind of petty I am.
So when do the games actually start, Marcus?
First game is at 6:30, right, which is the game that would matter to us if we move on, which is Michigan State and Kansas State. We literally take the court after them. They're playing in Madison Square Garden as well. So
yeah, I'm aware of that.
Yeah.
All right.
Michigan State is a one-point favorite tonight in that one.
We're a four-and-a-half-point favorite in ours. How do you feel about those odds?
I've actually got 5 over at Superbook. We'll see. I thought some of the others were at 5.5, but you've got 4, huh?
I mean, I'm on ESPN, so that may be why.
I see 4.5. So, yeah, it's interesting, huh? You know, that's going to be a very tight game if that's what ends up happening. But the Sweet 16, man, you're going to be playing a good team.
At number two, former Tennessee assistant coach Kim English has signed a 6-year deal as Providence's basketball coach. Providence has finalized a deal to make George Mason's Kim English the next head coach of Providence. Signs a 6-year deal. The school had zeroed in on English as its top target in the week leading up to Ed Cooley's departure for Georgetown. English will follow in his former boss's footsteps, as Barnes also once made the move from George Mason to Providence in 1988.
You guys see, I'm sorry, I'm blanking. Kim English is not the only former Rick Barnes assistant to get a head coaching job today. Did you see who got the Oral Roberts job?
No, I did not.
Former Barnes assistant, Russell Springman.
Wow.
Remember, he was one of Barnes's 3 guys at Texas when he got let go.
Right.
And
they
I believe
him
he
to
had
fire,
an offer
right?
to come here with Barnes and just decided at that time that he wanted to get out of coaching for a little while. I don't know what he was doing, but he's since gotten back in. And now he gets the head coaching job at Oral Roberts.
Nice.
Rick Barnes, Rick Barnes' coaching tree's gotten to be pretty good, hasn't it?
Yeah. And then one of his oldest branches on his tree has a really good shot. I would – Texas is insane if they don't go ahead and give this guy the job.
I would imagine they will. Rodney Terry down there. But, yeah, and, you know, George Mason, they're going to keep an eye on Kim English. If he does well there at Providence and he 4 years or so, and he's got them in the tournament and elevated that program a little bit, you know, he's probably going to be on Tennessee's radar. I'm not saying he's the heir apparent or anything like that. Obviously, he has to do well, but, you know, he's going to have a chance to put himself in play, I would think.
Mm-hmm.
At number three, track organizers have banned transgender women from elite competitions.
So men who are transitioning to women cannot compete in track and field anymore.
So World Athletics has banned transgendered women from competing in elite female competitions if they have gone through the male puberty, the sports governing body said today. Organization President Sebastian Coe said at a news conference that the decision by the World Athletics Council is excluding transgender women was based on the overarching need to protect the female category.
Well, I think the dam is beginning to break on this stuff, Bear. I mean, you know, we've been talking about it for years now, and
yeah.
I think like at first people are just kind of, eh, that's weird, whatever. But now that it's, you're seeing it in so many sports, I think people are, I saw there was a high school basketball team in Vermont that had a guy trying to play girls basketball. And it's like, no, we have girls basketball for a reason. And I think people are starting to wake up to the threat that this poses to women's sports. So, I mean, I applaud them. It's ridiculous that we are put in this position where you have to do these things, but you have to do these things. We have women's sports for a reason, because women and men have to be separate because their bodies are different. So is that for like all the Olympics teams and all that stuff, or just American track and field competitions?
I think it's just American track and field, but who knows what could build off of this, you know.
I'm sure the empathy and tolerance community will take this news in stride and react very rationally and reasonably.
And finally, at number four, some controversy in the NBA, as Mark Cuban will file to protest the Mavericks' loss to the Warriors. The Mavericks will file a protest of their 127-125 loss to the Warriors on Wednesday night in Dallas after a confusion over which team had possession of the ball. I don't know if you've seen this, Russell. This was kind of insane. It led to an uncontested dunk by Golden State late in the third quarter, obviously losing by two and having an easy dunk. Coming out of a timeout, based on what Mark Cuban said on Twitter, he said, "For those who wondered what happened, let me explain. The refs called a Mavs ball. The announcer announced it, and then there was a timeout. During the timeout, the official changed the call, never told us that when they saw us line up as if it were our ball, he just handed it to the Warriors, and they got an easy basketball. Crazy that it would matter in a two-point game. Worst officiating non-call mistake possibly in the history of the NBA.
I mean, that's bad, but I would have a lot more sympathy if it happened in the fourth quarter, closer to the end of the game. If it happens at the end of the third quarter, the game changes at that point. You've got 15-minute quarters in the NBA. You adjust. Yeah, it's a shame that happened. That should never happen at that level. But come on, man. You had 15 minutes to make it up. It's one basket. That's not – it's like these people who, you know, oh, that missed – free throw in the first half really came back to haunt them. It's like, no, it didn't. If they made the free throw, the game would have changed. And, you know, there's a butterfly effect there. There's a ripple effect. And by the time you get to the end of the game, one point, one possession here or there doesn't matter as much. That's my opinion anyway. I could be wrong.
Just last 2 points on it. For one, if you find the video, it's kind of astonishing because there's five Golden State players around the basket and not a single Mav player there. And then also, so according to the NBA Constitution, Cuban must file his protest in writing within the next 48 hours after Commissioner Adam Silver will receive the protest. The most recent protest the NBA received was also filed by the Mavericks in their game against the Atlanta Hawks back in 2020. The last successful protest in the NBA came in January of 2008. So I think the other reason for this protest is because this loss drops Dallas to ninth. If they had won this game, they would have been above the Warriors in sixth place.
Well, there you go. Thank you, Marcus Young. Top four at four, brought to you by G&J Auto Graphics. Man, what a beautiful day it is here in East Tennessee this afternoon.
Sunshine.
Hopefully it's an omen. We'll be giving away a free window tint job to a lucky listener in right about an hour. So you've got about 60 minutes, ladies and gentlemen. If you have not registered for the free window tent giveaway, this is basically our last call here. Go to fanrunradio.com/tent. Doesn't cost anything to register. There's no catch. You just put your name, phone number, email address in the machine there, and you will be registered for the grand prize drawing. Jeff Davis from G&J is going to jump on with us here in about an hour and select that winner, and we look forward to that. So last chance for you to get registered. This is about a $300 prize value, depending on the size and type of your windows and all that stuff. But again, fanrunradio.com/tent, fanrunradio.com/TINT to win fabulous gifts and prizes in honor of the Volunteers' appearance in the Sweet 16 this year. I've been assured by Jeff that if the Volunteers are still playing when we reconvene for the drive on Monday, that he will have an even bigger and more spectacular giveaway in honor of the first ever Final Four appearance for the University of Tennessee. Let's not get ahead of ourselves, though, guys. Let's not jinx it. I'm not even talking about the Craven Wings watch party on Saturday that we'll be having if Tennessee wins tonight. Not even going to promote that. And that could be bad business, but I'm more concerned about it being bad juju. Eye on the prize, eyes straight ahead, one foot in front of the other, one step at a time. That's what we're doing here. 865-546-8200. Your number to get on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines if you've got thoughts on it. Big one for Tennessee, big one for Rick Barnes, his legacy tonight. Of course, we'll be live with you as soon as it's over. Voluntary reaction exclusively on Twitter Spaces. Be there. Phil is next on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. Good afternoon, Phil.
Well, sorry, W.
What's up, Philly?
How you, Byron? Mark's doing.
Doing well. How are you, sir?
I just waiting until 9 o'clock.
It is a it's a big moment for Rick Barnes in this program, a chance to, you know, show that there's, we haven't peaked yet, Phil. And for all the ups and downs that we've seen this season, this program can still go further than the Sweet 16, which we've only done once in program history. Obviously, that sets up another big one Saturday, but you would be playing Kansas State or Michigan State. That would be, you know, you're going up against another Power 5 opponent there. I don't think the expectation to win would be as great for that game as it is tonight. You're playing Florida Atlantic from Conference USA. You need to win this thing tonight.
Yeah. It's time.
It's time.
Time
as John Ward said.
It really is. I mean, Rick Barnes, he can be, as Dr. say, his legacy be enhanced if he can take Tennessee to the Final Four. If not, it'll just be like all the other his predecessor coaches. Just can't get it done. Can't get the Final Four.
Well, he would have more chances in the future, but man, like it's so amplified when you're in the thick of it, isn't it, guys? Like when you're,
yeah,
when you're right there, and it's like it's, dude, it's now. You might never you get back to the Sweet 16 next year, but chances are you're going to be playing a Power 5 opponent. Chances are you're going to be playing a Michigan or a North Carolina or somebody like that. I mean, you've got no disrespect to Florida Atlantic; they're a good team. They could very well win tonight, but man. It could certainly be a lot more difficult.
Well, the way I look at it, Tennessee's lost the teams that are better than Florida Atlantic, much less we've beaten some of the best teams in the country.
I mean, we do own victories over three of the number one seeds this year in the tournament.
And it's all going to come down, can Tennessee score enough to I mean, I know our defense is going to show up tonight, but he got score enough to be able to pull ahead of these guys. But I think if Tennessee wins, it'll be a double-digit win.
Yeah, I mean, I think I said earlier we did Roger's keys to victory. Phil, I feel like 40% from the field, 30% from three-point range is not asking too much. I feel like that's enough to get it done. Would you agree?
Yeah. And you got to get something out of Triple J, and you got to get something out of Julian Phillips today, tonight.
Yeah, and, you know, like, we didn't get much offensively, scoring output-wise from them against Duke, but we got enough, right? I mean, those two buckets by Phillips were huge. Yeah. That three at the beginning of the second half by Triple J was huge. Like, if – I mean, is it setting the bar too low to say I would be satisfied with 10 points out of the two of them tonight?
No.
You just can't have an offer, man. We can't have Triple J just completely disappear and do his one of seven from the field thing like he's done several times this year.
Yeah, and Tennessee's not scared of it because they played in the Garden last year, and they've been up at the Barclays Center what, twice. So New York experience is Tennessee's got a lot of veterans on their basketball team, and that ought to be a bonus also.
Mm. Yeah. You guys been keeping up with this ball situation, coaches, players talking about the ball that the NCAA has been using?
Mm-mm.
No.
It's interesting because we heard a lot about that for the past two games where Tennessee hasn't shot well in New York because they use the Spalding basketball, right?
Yeah, none of the kids like.
Well, in the NCAA tournament, they use it's a uniform ball. It's a Wilson ball, and apparently the balls are brand new. And I saw Jeff Goodman tweeting about this, where they blow the basketballs up to their absolute fullest capacity. They're really bouncy, and that it's been speculated that that's been a reason for some of the poor shooting performances that we've seen, not just Tennessee, but all over the country. So, I don't know if there's much that can be done about it. You use the same basketball both teams, obviously, but. That's interesting. I mean, if that's something that holds true tonight, then it could be a low-scoring affair and kind of a street fight, which, quite frankly, in my opinion, favors Tennessee.
Yeah. And plus, if they think, they got to be physical to be physical Tennessee, that's not their game, and it'll help Tennessee. It's all in their mind.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Tennessee can find a way to win if they're shooting 36% from the field, Phil. I mean, it'd be ugly as all get out, but they've won games like that before, and I don't know that Florida Atlantic is capable of winning that ugly.
Well, I mean, it goes back to what Aaron Torres has told us numerous times about successful teams in the tournament. Russ, Phil, you to be successful in the tournament, you have to be able to win in multiple ways.
Yeah. And we got to do good at the foul line tonight because that's probably where you're going to win the game because I think we're going to go to the foul line, take that ball inside, and get them in foul trouble. We're bigger than they are.
Got to make some front ends, those one-and-one situations.
You know, other than John L. Davis, they don't shoot free throws much better than we do. If you're looking for something
I want to compliment Bear for standing up for BJ there today against Russell. I enjoyed Bear. Tell him the truth BJ. But Bear, is Bear on every show on Fan Run now?
I'm a superstar.
I mean, I heard him on Cody McClure today. I mean, what's going on?
I'm a team player. I get the call. I help out.
Yeah, and then you turn around and rip my man Jake the Snake.
Who?
Jake Miller's kind of in Bear's head.
Who?
He's got you rattled.
No.
You're shook.
No.
You called me this morning and went on a 10-minute diatribe about all the things, all the ways.
No, that's not how that conversation went. I said it was no.
I'm actually softening it.
You're lying is what I like to call it. What those of us call it in the real world, it's called lying, Russ. You have a problem with that sometimes, but it's okay. You're no George Washington.
Interesting. And I heard I heard you and Cody for just about 5 minutes, you airing your grievances about Jake to Cody. I mean, it was a very compelling radio.
You're just mad. Cody was, he said some unkind things about you. He did say that he really liked you, though.
I think you and Jake's too young to be that far in your head. You got to sit down, bury the hatchet.
You got to. Just quit what you're doing.
You can't have these kinds of rifts with your coworkers. It's not healthy.
This is dumb. Dumb
I
what
agree.
You're doing. You're lying.
I agree. It's dumb.
You are a liar. You sit on a throne of lies.
Back, it's on tape. We record. You are aware we record these shows.
Yeah. Did you record our phone call?
If I said yes, would that be admitting to some sort of crime?
Possibly. I'd have to check. Not in Tennessee, according to Ben Slotnick. How the hell do you know that, Slots?
I take media law.
Oh, okay.
Stay with us. The drive continues. Coming up, friend John Hodge is going to join from the desert with a couple of betting trends for the Sweet 16. For those of you who've been following, if you follow the betting trends for 9 seeds in the Sweet 16, and, of course, for Rick Barnes, well, it's not going to fill you with a lot of confidence as a Tennessee fan. It might fill you with an added degree of confidence as a bettor tonight. So stay tuned. The drive continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up. The Docket, brought to you by Fox and Farmer, the car wreck pro attorneys. We might have to get our guy CG back on the phone to get a follow-up comment on this one. A California man who racked up almost 36 charges and 10 arrests in the past month was most recently busted for allegedly driving a stolen car to the police station to pick up his personal property. A lot going on right there.
Yeah.
He's been arrested 10 times in 31 days. His most recent arrest was after he drove a stolen car to the police station to pick up his personal property. Local law enforcement is very familiar with 38-year-old Keith Chastain. 38-year-old is booked into the Fresno County Jail 10 times between February 19th and Tuesday. 6 of those arrests happened in Clovis, just northeast of Fresno. The most recent came as officers intercepted a stolen vehicle and found him in the driver's seat. Officers located the stolen truck and initiated a high-risk traffic stop right outside Clovis, 9:30 a.m. At least he's up early.
What's a high-risk traffic stop? I thought they were all high-risk.
Like when you're like, when you got a guy that, you know, is sketchy, or you run the license plate and you find out the car's stolen.
Okay.
Or owner's got a warrant or something. They've got all 10 mugshots on this news story I'm reading at Fox News. And he's got, it's the same guy, you know, beard's not growing much. Same expression on his face 10 times in 31 days. Between mid-February and this week, police say he racked up 18 felony charges and 15 misdemeanors. Cases involve 6 stolen cars, DUI, drugs, vandalism, and fraud. I'm beginning to think this guy might have a problem.
I agree.
Man's rap sheet goes back even further. Court records show in February 2022, he was accused of domestic violence and separately of fleeing police. Those charges were later dismissed. Back in 2005, he pled no contest to 2 separate robbery charges. It was cool that he was able to hold it together for the better part of 15 years there.
Sure.
But evidently, the past 30 days or so, he's just decided, I need to go and commit a lot of crimes.
Well, he succeeded. When you say?
I mean, call me old-fashioned. I'm just thinking, like, you get arrested, Bear, you go to jail, the turning point. Maybe it happens again. You know, hey, lightning can strike twice. What can I say?
Sure.
Right? At that point, the second arrest, I think you got to go home and spend some time just low-keying it.
I mean,
this guy
I would.
Took the other approach, man. He's like, no, I got a record here I can go for. Pedal down. See how many times I can get busted in a month.
Huh. I don't know. I wouldn't do it.
Do you think you could get arrested 10 times in 31 days if you tried?
Sure. Sure.
I mean, what's the best way to do? Just driving around? Because think, like, after your second or third arrest, like, it's probably going to be harder to get out of jail.
Well, I mean, you're gonna have to do several, you know, you're going to have to do small stuff. That's the key.
So, I mean, it's not like you've got 31 chances to get arrested 10 times because you're probably going to be in jail for a couple of those days. So it's,
yeah,
it's probably more like 10 times in 15 days.
I mean, released on your own recognizance. You probably do some public drunkenness charges. Maybe, you know, maybe a shoplifting.
It would be difficult.
Yeah, I mean, it would. I mean, it's, hats off to this guy.
It is impressive. That is the docket brought to you by Fox and Farmer, the car wreck pro attorneys. You check them out online at foxandfarmer.com, whether you've been in a car or motorcycle accident. You need workman's comp or help with your Social Security disability. You need the best lawyers and the best law firm on your side. Fox and Farmer offer free consultations to discuss your case and answer any questions you may have. They have over 100 years of combined experience, and you're going to be surprised at how affordable their services actually are, because at Fox and Farmer, they don't get paid unless you get paid. So what do you have to lose? Give them a call. Set up a free, no-obligation consultation to discuss your case today. Their number is 865-531-9400. You can call anytime. Tell them Fan Run sent you. 531-9400, online at foxandfarmer.com. That's Fox and Farmer, the car wreck pro attorneys. Back to the Big Orange Phillies phone lines we go, and out to the desert where Haji is standing by. Good afternoon, Haji. How are you, sir? Haji, you there?
Yeah, can you? Hello? Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear
you're
you
kind of breaking
in and out.
Oh, sorry about that. I hope I didn't last.
Sounds much better right now.
Much better now. I moved over one seat.
There you go. Stand still.
I'm nervous. I have some Final Four bets out there that I'm worried about. Do you still have one of those open or two that we talked about, those Final Four parlays?
I'll be honest, Haji, I didn't pull the trigger on those. I know I said I was going to. Then other stuff happened, and I just forgot.
Okay. Well, anyway, yeah, I've got Tennessee out there as one of the teams. So UConn, I'm heavy on, and Creighton actually have coming out of the South. But anyway, and Houston winning it all. Nice. But
anybody but Bama, that's what I say.
Yeah, right. Always. I like San Diego State to cover, not necessarily to win, but I didn't hear everything CPG said. I had a couple phone calls. I wish the drive had the app had a pause feature so you could pause it. And when I, you know, take a call, hang up, and then you pick up where you left off, because there's no way to hear it all without going back to the podcast. But
you could just ignore the phone call, prioritize the drive, Haji. I mean, come on. What do you want? We'll pass your suggestion, though. We'll put it in the suggestion box forward that to the engineering department here at Fan Run.
Right on. Very good. What's
don't hold your breath.
To do with it anyway. The three things that I think that I'd like to see would be, we're one of the best offensive rebounding teams and most physical teams in the country. So, again, it's kind of like what everybody's saying, do what we do. Be that team, but don't get in foul trouble. But, you know, they got guards, right? They got four guards and a big man. But if we just get them in foul trouble like we did, Roach with Duke, then that's going to limit their potential to go deep into their bench. But be physical, but do not freaking foul on a 3-point shot.
No.
Please. Can we not do that?
I mean, can we get through tonight without fouling a 3-point shooter and a shot clock violation? Can we do that, Haji? Is it too much to ask?
No. Obviously, no, we cannot do it, or we would have done it by now, probably. But, God, it just oh my God, just go straight up on the threes, man.
Let it fly, Santi.
I think the guards have a chance to rebound against them. So, especially if they're shooting a bunch of threes and long rebounds, our guards are going to have a chance to get some rebounds, and that's going to be helpful to us. And the offense, I would like to see us not shoot more than 20 threes, to be honest. I don't think we have to go out there and worry about the springy ball going in off on long shots, rimming out or whatever. Let's just out-rebound them, out-muscle them, and get the points on the inside. I think if we've got Adu's got a chance to be a guy, and Iwaka, mm-hmm, a guy, if Euros gets in foul trouble. it shouldn't slow us down on the inside. So that those are the things I would just kind of like to see. But anyway,
I'm with you on the 3-point shooting. We should take advantage of presence inside around the basket. And, you know, I guess if we're just burning up the nets, that's one thing. You don't worry about it as much. But the most frustrating thing about that Texas Tech game last year is the 3-ball was not falling, and they just kept jacking them up there, clanging away. If it ain't working, just go to something else.
Yeah, I mean, it's contagious, right? It's just like hot shooting is contagious. When some, you know, a couple guys get hot, everybody else wants to starts making them. But when you're missing them and then somebody else is missing them, then all of a sudden everybody's kind of scared to shoot, and then it's even harder to make them. So I just say we just go inside early and often and impose our will on them and come out of there with a double-digit victory. Now, there's a couple of facts that you mentioned in the tease about that. By the way, the unders are 17-35 so far in the tournament. So maybe it is the ball part of it. So 2-1 under. So there's 8 games. What's that, six unders and 2 overs? I can't even find a couple overs I like in there. But you said 9 seeds and higher in the Sweet 16. Okay, so since 2012, 9 seeds and higher are 16-7-1 against the spread, and they've won 11 of 24.
God, that's crazy. 11 of 20. They've won straight up 11 times.
Yeah, and since 2017.
Okay.
It's a little better. What else you got, Haji? 2017. Since 2017, it's a little better. They're actually 10-3 against the spread, but only 7-6 straight up. So you don't see a lot of Cinderella runs run into the Elite Eight or Final Four. Not very often. You got the George Masons or whatever, but I think we'll get the win whether we cover or not. I'm not going to touch it. I've already got a bet on Tennessee or 4, so I don't need any more action. But if we get up double digits and the line goes up, I'll probably hedge a little bit on them. But and also in those 9 seed and up games, the under is 11-2 in the last 6 years.
Ooh,
so this is under again. This game.
Yeah,
sort of echoing what everybody says is this game's going under.
Not expecting a lot of offensive fireworks tonight. I feel like that might be the safest of bets if there is such a thing tonight.
Yes, sir. Probably right. Yeah, and less emotional invested in that, probably. Just invested in points not being scored. So if we go cold, at least you got the under. If we can hold play defense against them, you got a shot to the under. So, yeah.
Okay, yeah, I like it. I like the way you're thinking there. A little emotional hedge.
Let's see here. What else did I tell you? Teams off of back-to-back upset wins in the tournament going into the third round are 11-5 to keep it going against the spread, but only 7-9 straight up. That's Princeton. Is one in teams covering underdogs who have won 3 straight games, whether it was the conference championship game or the play-in game in first and second round, they're covering 4 straight games at a rate of 32-13-1, and that's FAU, Gonzaga, San Diego State, and Princeton. And if any of those teams wins this week, Thursday or Friday, it goes to 14-2-1 against the spread in the Elite Eight. So if any of those teams advance, FAU, they're not advancing. Gonzaga, San Diego State, Princeton, they're 14-2-1 against the spread in the Elite Eight. Teams that shot 50% or better in the first 2 games are 9-16. Straight up and 6-19 against the spread, and that would include UCLA and Texas. So maybe teams to fade there, UCLA. So that'd be Gonzaga and Xavier.
UCLA shot 50% in their first 2 games.
That's correct.
That
I just don't know. Okay. That's going to be
go
a
figure,
game.
Right?
I don't know what to
Mick
do
Cronin,
there.
Noted
know.
Offensive genius.
Right. I would lean toward them. They got a big injury, but if nobody else is hurt, then I sort of lean toward them. But I've got Gonzaga going to the four, so I don't know. But anyway, that's enough for me. I'm too
nervous. Haji, we appreciate you. May the odds be forever in your favor, and let's just survive in advance tonight. Let's just
survive
get this done.
Survive in advance and win ugly, and then take down Michigan State or Kansas State in a big way. And then, wow, what happens to the village.
Nice.
Let's do it.
All right, man. Appreciate you.
Thank you. All right, see ya.
John Hodge checking in from out in the desert where he is furiously crunching the numbers for your financial benefit in the lab, the math lab. As that's math lab, not meth lab. That's one state over, New Mexico, Heisenberg's territory. Let's go back to the Big Orange Phillies phone lines and talk to Matt. Good afternoon, Matt. You're on the drive. It's Fan Run Radio.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Doing well. How are you, sir?
Pretty good. I kind of to piggyback off what he was just saying. For whatever reason, I feel like when college teams play in Madison Square Garden, and this could just be like an optics thing or something, but they just don't shoot well for some reason, it seems like. It seems like the 3-point percentages are not great, and I feel like Tennessee needs to use that to their advantage. They just need to pound it inside, make FAU shoot a ton of threes, and just hope they don't make a bunch. But I just feel like when you watch those games in the Garden, for whatever reason, the shooting, I don't know if it's the rims, I don't know if it's the nerves, the atmosphere, but it seems like college teams struggle to shoot there.
It does seem that way. It really does. So, yeah, I mean, it's some good points. We've had some astute basketball analysis from some of our people here this afternoon, but I'm with you, especially if they're not stopping it, pounding inside. Hey, man, you get their big guys in trouble. Everybody talks about Tennessee getting in foul trouble. You get they've only got two decent big men in there. If you can get at least one of those guys in a little bit of foul trouble, that changes things dramatically, I would assume.
Yeah, correct. And I would say, you know, everyone's been saying they think the officiating is going to be tight today, and I would agree with that. And I think if you're smart, you use that to your advantage. You're bigger than them. Just pound it inside and get a bunch of foul calls. Like Meshack go to the basket, Josiah go to the basket, and just really just attack. And if they're calling a tight whistle, you're bigger than them. You should get a lot of those ticky-tack fouls just going to the basket and then just, you know, make your free throws, play defense, and get out of there.
Attack, attack, attack. Always attack, as Johnny Major said back in the day.
I would agree. I think that's the path to victory. Now I say that, and, you know, I'm sitting on some pretty nice Tennessee bets here, so FAU's probably going to make 10 threes, but I hope that they do not, and I hope that my little trend of the garden unders, like Haji said, and just, you know, you have to get that rebound off the glass. You can't let them have those second opportunities. And can't turn the ball over. You just make them shoot over you, and I think they'll be all right.
Well said, Matt. Anything else, my friend?
That's it. Go Vols.
Thank you. Appreciate the phone call. 865-546-8200. Your number to get on board. Martin, hang right there. We're coming to you next. Couple lines available. If you want to jump in, the drive continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up. Fan Run Radio, the drive continues, 105.7 FM, 1340 AM, online, fanrunradio.com, your free Fan Run app. Russell Bear, Marcus, back with you. Ben Slotnick helping out behind the scenes today as well. We are about 15, 20 minutes away from the giveaway, Sweet 16 window tint giveaway from our friends over at G&J Auto Graphics. You still have time to get registered. Go over to fanrunradio.com/tint. Put that in your phone right now, fanrunradio.com/TINT. Take you about 2 seconds to get registered and signed up, and you could win a prize valued at roughly $300, depending on the make and model of your car, size of the windows, etc. Sweet 16 window tint giveaway from G&J Auto Graphics coming up in a mere matter of minutes. Get signed up. Our number, you want to jump on board, 865-546-8200, 546-8200 to get on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. We go back and talk to Martin Good afternoon, Martin. You're on the drive.
Yes, Russell.
Martin.
How good are the 7-footer and 6'8" men in Florida Atlantic have?
They're pretty good. The 7-foot Russian averages right at 10 points, 5 rebounds a game. They rotate a lot. None of their guys play more than about 26. Like, even their best guy, John L. Davis, I think plays like 25, 26 minutes a game. So they're gonna rotate a lot. But the big men are nice players, Martin, but they're nothing that Tennessee should not be able to handle.
Russell?
Martin.
To me, you may think I'm crazy. If I was Olivia Kumwa, I would come back next year and get a nice NIL deal from us and try to average about 13 or 14 points a game and about 7 or 8 rebounds and then go pro. And I believe he's got a chance to be drafted in the second round. And I'm going to tell you why.
Okay.
Because he had them 27 points against Duke with all the NBA scouts there watching them Duke players.
Well, if he could ever put that kind of effort together consistently and play that way for, you know, not even an entire season, just a couple of weeks, and he might be able to work his way onto some of those draft boards. I haven't heard any buzz around him, but maybe you're right. Maybe if he comes back and is able to play that way consistently, he can work himself into NBA consideration.
Russell?
Martin.
They even said that Eve Pons, they told him he come back, he checked on his draft status, and he came back. And they told him, they said, if you just average 12 points a game and 7 or 8 rebounds a game, we'll draft you.
Yeah, see, Martin.
He just averaged about 5 or 6 rebounds a game that year, and that's what cost him.
Yeah, but Martin, the thing you got to keep in mind with, and it's funny you should mention Yves Pons and Kamwa. You know, Kamwa's from Finland. Yves was from France. I've watched highlights. Yves tearing it up over there, and it's that high level European league, and he's at home in France with his family. So
what kind of money did he make over there?
I have no idea. I know they can make a great living, and the big thing is they're home with their, you know, because Yves, I read an article where he talked about it. He really missed his mom. Kamwa's been away from home for, 4 years now, and I think that's the rub with guys like that that are from Europe that, you know, all in all, if they aren't going to be a guaranteed first-round draft pick, they would rather go play at home and make good money than bounce around the G League and nothing's guaranteed outside of what, Russell? The first round?
Just the first round, yes. Guaranteed.
Yeah, I mean, Kennedy Chandler's the only exception to that. So last year, and that was a really unique situation. So, I mean, I'd love it if he came back, Martin. I don't see it happening.
And I'm gonna take this and let you go. Josiah Jordan James said he ain't made up his mind yet whether to return or not.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think any of them have, or if they have, they're not saying so publicly. I think they're all leaving the door cracked open. And, you know, you can declare for the draft and go through an advisory process and get some feedback from the league and stuff like that and then make an informed decision. I'm sure that's what Julian Phillips will do, and I'd imagine that's what the 4 seniors will do as well. But said several times the past couple of weeks, Martin, if I'm Rick Barnes, I would gladly take any of those guys that want to come back for an extra year. I'd take them back because they've just been so unlucky in the transfer portal. I think they're much better off. Even if none of those 4 are super productive, they're at least somewhat productive. You know what you're going to get as opposed to going to the portal, which just seems like an automatic roll of the dice.
Yes. All right, I appreciate you, Russell.
Appreciate you, Martin. Thank you for the phone call. Martin drumps off. That creates a line available for you, 865-546-8200. Looking over some Tennessee football practice notes from today. They had their 3rd spring practice today, going to the Shells. you get your shoulder pads on to go with the helmets now, 2 days in those, and then you get to full contact football coming up here in a couple of days. This Castles kid at tight end's good-looking prospect. Passes the eye test, as they say.
It does to you?
Yes, it does. Ethan Davis, the guy coming back, the four-star tight end from down there in Georgia, shoulder injury. Looks like he's got one of those harnesses on. He's a good-looking prospect, too. They got some good-looking tight ends coming up through the ranks. We'll see if Davis can make an impact as he continues to rehab that shoulder injury. I would think McCastles would have a much better chance of making an impact this year. He's a good-looking prospect, though. Let's get Big Josh in here next. Josh, you're on the drive. It's Fan Run Radio.
What's going on, Russ?
What up, Big Josh?
Not a whole lot, man. A little nervous, kind of fired up for this game. Hoping we show up.
I'm a lot of nervous.
Yeah, I know. I'm kind of football fired up, Russ, which is a little odd for me.
Yeah, man, it feels like we're playing Alabama or something this afternoon.
Yes, yeah, a huge game. Huge game.
Yep.
My question is, you know, everybody's talking about if they call us tighter, if officials call the game a little tighter.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, at the end of the day, they're going to even these fouls up, whether they call it tighter or not. So,
I was thinking that earlier. Somebody was saying that, you know, even if Tennessee does get in foul trouble early, Barnes is really good at working the refs. And he's going to let them know and make sure they're aware of that. And I hope I'm not wrong on this, Big Josh, but I feel like it will probably even out.
Right. And do we not have to attack that that big guy? It's kind of like the Duke game, Russell. It's like Duke only had seven, eight kids. So, I mean, if the officials called the game tight, they're going to have to call it even, you know, both ways. And if they've done that, they're going to foul half of Duke's roster out. You know, so they had to let him play.
Uro should do one of those 5 of 5 from the field games, you know. he's good for one of those every now and then.
7-1, if we get that 7-1 guy in foul trouble, I mean, they're little. We ought to be able to pound it inside. I mean, I don't know. I don't really feel good about Kamwah. I mean, he's going to have to show me, but hopefully Sandy can play and have a good game, hit some threes. I'm poor out of hell, man. I don't know. We got to win this game.
By any means necessary, Big Josh. Survive in advance, baby.
There you go. Go Big Orange. Let's go. Let's get it done, Russell. Get this shirt on. Hey, we'll see you guys.
Thank you, Big Josh. Appreciate it. The shirt.
Need to get it on, Russ.
Get it on. Bang a gong. Stay with us. Hour number 3 of the drive coming up. We'll send things back to Marcus for the top 5. At 5, we'll give away this window tent. We'll get back to your phone calls. Stay tuned. The drive continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up.